this is some subject tonight now. And I'm glad to be here and to share with you. And obviously the Word of God is applicable for every subject you could think of. And I'm sure you're wondering, what are you going to hear tonight? And I trust that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, including my own, and how that we all could do better, I'm sure, at relationships. We all have maybe felt awkward at times, how that you could be in a situation, maybe you don't know anybody, and there are folk, there are unsaved people, who probably won't go to church because there's nobody else to go with them. And if you had nobody to go with you, how would you react? You might say, I don't know whether I could go in there or not. And so we all like relationships, and that's the way God has made us. And there's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And so relationships are important. And I was thinking tonight, keeping to the C's, a lot of preachers have the P's. So the C's, right? And we all start, I'm sure you agree with this, you start at conception. At the very start, that's how we are conceived. And none of us had a choice in our parents. None of us at all. And how that we're unique and we're special. There's no question about that. And so I was thinking there, I've got a few facts with me in relation to conception and how that it says here, this is a Care magazine, and I'll be looking at it later on. So here is a few facts for you. Did you know that you're 1 in 250 million? You happened when just one sperm out of a possible 250 million fertilized just one egg. You're a living miracle. Look at that there now. A living miracle. Special. Really special. So you're just not something that is unimportant. How you're special. And in God's sight, you're very unique. Nobody like you in the whole world. Can you think of this? Nobody. Nobody has got how the fingerprints are all different in the world. I mean, that's special. And also, it says here, not only the fingerprints, but it says here that we have a unique, the iris in the eye is also unique. The pattern in the eye. So, that's a wee start for us. And you think about that and think about God who knows us. He knows us, everything about us. And so I want to turn, I'm sure you have your Bibles, and in Psalm 139 and verse 14. Earlier in the Psalms, David could say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And it's just wonderful how that when we think of even our very beginning, conception. So Psalm 139 and verse 14. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So, conception. think of the different people in the Bible. It wasn't an accident that they appeared on the scene, and how God was in control. He was in control of everything. And that's why we're special tonight. Really special. Some people feel, they don't feel any worth. And yet God says you are valuable. You're more valuable than this whole world. And that's wonderful, isn't it? To think that's the way God looks at us. We're special and valuable because we've got something eternal. We've got a soul. And so think they're right at a conception. I'm not going to go through these tonight, but you can check yourselves another time. Way back there in Genesis 17 and verse 19, we have there about Abraham and Sarah. Now, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. And you would say, well, there's what's the possibility there of having a child at that age? Well, there's nothing impossible with God. And before that child was born, God said, call his name Isaac. So before the child was born, there was God saying, you're going to have a child, and that child, you're going to call him Isaac. And so God had a plan and a purpose for Isaac, and I believe he has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. People out in the world might say that we're just as surplus, as it were. We can be done without. We're not. We're unique and we're special. And so there are others in the Bible as well. Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Say an all-knowing God. So, as I said to you, the possibility of there one in 250 million for a start. That's amazing, isn't it? So you are very special, and we acknowledge God tonight. So conception. So we'll all agree that's where it all started, that it was conception, and we had no choice. We had no choice at all. And we're all different here tonight. We've all got different personalities. And so conception. I'm sure you could think of the next C. I'm sure you could. Your brain's ticking over, I'm sure. The child. And how that don't stay small too long, so we don't. We grow up. But just think about the child. And how the child, it's great to have a childlike faith. No matter what age we are, a child, very young child, is very trusting, and how Jesus used that illustration that we need to come like a child and put our faith and trust in him. And that's real, genuine faith, like a child. Well, the Bible says we to train up a child in the way it should go, and then when it's old, it'll not depart from it. And I'm sure most people here have had the privilege of being brought up well. Brought up to know right from wrong and taught in Sunday school or youth fellowships. What privileges even to meet others at school of like minds. Well, think about Jesus. Jesus was born into a family. Think of Jesus. I know he was special. He always existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit, but he put on flesh. Flesh like us. And there in Mary's womb, the Lord Jesus, how that the same in a sense, although he had no sin, the development went on in Mary's womb for 9 months, and then Jesus was born. And he grew up as a child. And I'm quite sure he was a very good child. He was obedient. And I'm sure none of us here would say we're always obedient. All the time. I'm sure not. We all have our moments. And so, but Jesus was perfect. Perfect in every way. And how that when he was 12 years of age, remember, when he stayed behind and how that he knew that he was about his father's business, but yet he was obedient to them. He was obedient to Mary and to Joseph. And many think that after some stage after he was 12, maybe could have been 13 or 14, we don't know exactly, but Joseph died. And Jesus had the responsibility of looking after that family, of his half-brothers and sisters. And he would have the responsibility of working in the carpenter shop, providing for the family. And so you can see, he knows what it's like to be involved in a family situation. You know, I was reading recently, and how that with our connections, and we all have got connections, we're born into a family circle, and how that it can have an effect on our happiness or our misery. Now, some people say, oh, I'd love to be born into a family of millionaires. Oh, just love it. I'd have everything I want. But you could be miserable. You actually could be miserable. It might be better for you if you had very little. And yet, there was a love in the family. And there was, indeed, all the helps that would point you towards God. So, yes, the child. And you see the family? The family really, I believe, is a foundation of society. And seemingly the conservatives are thinking now of giving married couples special allowances. So that's, in a sense, that's good news for married couples in the future, hopefully. And they'll benefit from that. Because how that married couples can have a big influence bringing up their family in a stable environment. And you see, regarding the family, it's a place we learn our moral and spiritual values. It's amazing what we learn. And even a little child will soon copy those around it. It'll start speaking the same, it'll start acting the same, walking the same way. It just takes on that role. And we learn a lot from our family. We learn to get on with each other. And it doesn't apply now because you're all mature here. But I'm sure when you were smaller, there was a fair wee bit sometimes of arguments with your younger brother or sister or whatever. And we've all been there. And how that you learn then to just get on with each other and to help each other. And that's a good start in the home. How we need that training. And then when you go to school, how the teacher is, we're getting education for the workplace. And that's all good as well. And, but to remember, there's obviously a lot to gain in the home. And we can find there the discipline for future life, for the workplace that we all end up in. So, yes, conception, the child. And the next thing you have is company. Company. I'm sure you've heard from your parents, watch your company. I'm sure you've heard that one. And it is important to watch our company. I'm not saying if you're a Christian here tonight, it is good to be able to talk to unsaved people, and that you know that everybody you know is a Christian. Well, we're not going to reach too many, so it is good to know unsaved people, and you can invite them along to things, and you can witness to them. So that's important as well, but company. And obviously we can have company in our own family, we can have company there at school, in the workplace, and it all can affect us. Well, there are those maybe in the workplace, I'm not saying anybody here would do this, but sometimes people talk negatively about their family or run down other people. Maybe when they're in your company, they're nice and they're pleasant and they talk the way you want them to talk. And then when they're out of your company, then they are different. And that's not really a good sign of a character. It's good to be able to, what you are, then that should be it. You shouldn't be two-faced. That's important. Because if we're going to develop in our character, if we are going to be a good husband or wife in the future, well, it has to be training. There's training for everything nowadays. There's a course for everything. And I've got some here. I've got some CDs. And if anybody's thinking of getting married, and you can have a couple of these CDs. There's part one and part two. And I use them personally for... I use them to help young people before marriage. And I go through it myself to refresh myself, the subjects. I get them to do section by section and we discuss it. It's from Radio Bible Class. I believe it's good material. So if anybody wants a set of those CDs, then I'm only delighted to give them to you at the end. Well, I come across this little quote, and it says this: the loving heart is like a fire that gives a quiet glow. All who come within its range can feel its warmth and know the comfort and the beauty of a never-failing flame. Steadfast is the loving heart, unchanged by praise or blame. Somebody that's steady all the time. Well, Ruth had a good relationship with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And say, if you're taking notes, it's Ruth 1 and verse 16 to 17. And David had a good relationship with Jonathan. He got on really well with Jonathan in 1 Samuel 18 verse 1. Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And we know that Jonathan ended up being killed in battle. And it broke David's heart. And you could read about that in 2 Samuel 1 and verse 17 and verse 23 and 26. Well, looked at conception, the child, the company. I know we haven't exhausted those. But the next thought I have is the couple. Usually what happens is, if there's a group, I'm not saying it'll happen in this group, but it happens in groups, that after a wee while, if you're looking for a future husband or wife, after a wee while, then you're in their company, you know what they're like, you know if they're honest, if they're kind, if they're a loving type of person, and someone that that you would look up to. Then maybe after a while, both are thinking the same way, and the two minds, as it were, meet. And then gradually you'll find you would spend more time with that other individual. So that's a good way. It's a good way. Obviously, the internet's not the right way to go about it. it definitely is not. Or look up the paper and say, I wonder who could I have this week? That wouldn't do either. I'm not recommending that now. But that's the way it is now. People seem to just, it's a throwaway world, really. I'm sure you agree. A throwaway world. And hopefully you won't throw the chip bag away, because I'm ever lifting rubbish around the house as throwing out through car windows or whatever. But that's life. And when you think of a couple, how that it's good. And the Bible has a lot to say here about couples. And obviously, for a Christian point of view, we shouldn't be thinking of getting married to an unsaved person. Because how that one will want to read the Bible, one will want to pray, and how the other might not be interested at all in that. So you need two people, in a sense, on the same wave band, and as we're singing out of the same hymn sheet, and that's a good start at least in any marriage. And obviously I'm not here to tell you what church to go to, but you imagine if two people were from different churches, you have to sort that one out as well. And there's a lot of issues to sort out when it comes to settling down. And you want to please God. You want to know God's will for your life. Well, you see in Genesis 24, I'll read this, Genesis 24. This is a very exciting story, and a story for how that we see how that Isaac and Rebekah, they are able to be together because Abraham, he sends his servant. Now, that's not the way you'll probably get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a wife or a husband. There'll be no servant in your house that's sent off for 450 miles to go on a camel to get the bride or whatever. That's not the way it'll happen. But it did happen here. And they were led by God, which is amazing. And say, if you have time to read that, I would advise you to do that in Genesis 24. And say, I don't want to take up your time tonight, but how that if you were to read from verses 14 to 28 there, and it just helps you to see how was he going to find out about this lady Rebecca? What kind of a lady was she? Was she lazy? Was she, obviously she wasn't watching the TV or playing computer games. She wasn't doing that at all. She probably wasn't looking in the mirror because they hadn't very good mirrors in those days. So what was she doing? She was out working, getting water from a well. And in a sense, that's obviously a good quality as well. And wondering, how would I know that she's going to be the right wife for my master Abraham, for his son Isaac? And how he asked God, that's a good thing, isn't it? So I'm not saying your servant will be getting you a husband or wife, but you yourself will be looking for one. And how that you'll be praying. You'll be praying, that's the principle. And he said, O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And he no sooner had the prayer said till Rebecca arrived. That'd be a good prayer, wouldn't it? You're praying for somebody and then just appear. And that's, I'm not saying it'll always work like that, because guidance, you have to be patient as well. And but that's the way it worked here. And she complied with the request that he had been praying to God. She didn't know anything about this, but obviously God moved in her heart, and she was then the wife for Isaac. So he was able to go to the house, and they were able to stay there. They were well away, say 450 miles at Mesopotamia. But you see in Genesis 24, and verse 50 to 67, Genesis 24 and verse 50, we see here the situation. They're in the house now with Rebecca's family, and they stay the night, and they're wanting to go away. So they stay the night there in verse 54, and when they want to go away, they want to keep them back for a wee while longer. But the servant, he has business to do. And they called Rebecca, verse 58, and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." She was willing to leave her family and travel that journey to meet a man that she never knew. Now, you probably won't do that. You'll be wanting to know the person. You'll want to know something about them. But this was unique, there's no doubt. But God was in it. God was in this situation. And how they sent Rebecca, their sister, away with a nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. Now, they come back all that journey, and it tells us that Isaac came in verse 62 from the way of the well. And so Isaac probably is wondering, what is going to happen? Is a wife going to appear here? And then we read in verse 63, he's out meditating in the field in the evening, and then he lifts up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And no doubt about it, there was a spring in his step now. And I'm sure he was excited as well. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes. So there's eye contact for a start. And it's amazing what happens then. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. So here she is. It's all happening. And so you'll not be on a camel, I'm sure. But you see the idea. There was much prayer went up here. Abraham didn't want a son to be marrying a heathen. He wanted someone to marry one belonging to God. And so that's the reason why the servant was sent away. And so here is the situation. Rebecca, she gets off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walks in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So there's a man, he really loved this lady. So he hadn't a long, he didn't have any, as we would know today, a long engagement. People say now today, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but sometimes you wonder about these things. You know, I think I'll get married in 5 years' time when I save up. You know, it's amazing what people say. But if you really love someone, could you wait? Well, I suppose you would wait, because you'd love them that much. You'd wait any length of time, but you just wonder. You just wonder how people are. And it's more important to have each other and to be genuine as well. Yes, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 and 4 that marriage is honourable. Marriage is honourable. It's God's idea. God said, "Let a man leave his father and mother," in Genesis, "and let them to be joined unto his wife. And then the two of them then become one." That's God who made us. We're unique, as we said earlier, in conception we're unique. And he made us. And that's important. Yes, do you see that in Hebrews and 13 and verse 4? It tells us marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. The bed needs to be kept pure. And that bed was really like a mattress, or just something you could roll up. But whoremongers or fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So, I know it's laughed about today, but it's important that no matter what the world says is normal, you should be very, very careful about relationships. And you should say, right, I am going to keep myself pure until that time I'm going to get married. Now, people would laugh at you at school nearly, the idea of that. But that would be God's way. And you'll have no regrets for that. None at all. That's why I encourage you tonight. Yes, it's good as we think here of a company. Think of the couple. There are other verses we could read. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 to 9, and verse 32 to 34 and 39. So, I have a last point here, another C, and hopefully then you'll be able to get away. Commitment. That's a big word, isn't it? Commitment. Somebody says, look, I'm going to have that commitment. Now, you need the commitment to the Lord, first of all. And if a couple loves the Lord and they want to please the Lord, then if they're doing that individually and their character, they're building their character with the Word of God and with prayer with God, then they're going to get stronger and stronger. And then if the person that they're going to meet is doing the very same thing, then what's going to happen? Then they're going to be very strong together, both committed. Committed to the Lord and then to each other. And obviously in marriage, I never like it, and I've heard people say this, running their husband or their wife down in the workplace. I've heard it myself. And people just, you need to know the one I'm married to, and wait till I tell you about her or tell you about him. No, that's not nice. I think that betrays. You know, if you love somebody, you will not talk about them behind their back. I think that's very important. And if you hear another fella, another girl, and you're wondering about them as a possibility of a future wife or husband, and they are doing that with others that I mentioned earlier, then I'd put a big question mark. Because if they're doing with others, they'll probably do it on you as well. And so, commitment is important. But I want us to finish really by turning to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We have here the fruit of the Spirit. And there are nine here. Nine qualities, nine characters really here of a true Christian. And it's self-explanatory here. It says here, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and verse 22 is love, joy, peace. Now, isn't that good? That's good for any relationship to have that. And it's something a Christian can have with God and with his companions. And then long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or that word means self-control. Don't easily just get angry and get into a bad temper. And it's something we need to control. All of us could easily, some people have long fuses and other people very short fuses. But it's something that needs to be controlled. And it says, against such there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain or empty glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now the opposite of that there, and none of us would want to live with someone if this was going on. And the opposite in verse 19 of Galatians 5, it tells us the works of the flesh. They're revealed. And they're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. That means lewdness. There's no shame at all. And I'd say that's what's happening today in the media regarding relationships and all the suggestions and explicits that is revealed. You could hardly look at a newspaper now, but without suggestions there. And here is the list. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. That means, really, that word jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, it's good to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's key. And then to depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord that He'll guide you. He will guide you. And if there is some person that's going to be your future husband or your wife, then the Lord will make that clear to you as time goes on. If you wait upon the Lord, He's able to guide you, and you're reading His word and you're praying. I'm not saying you'll pray and you'll sit beside a well now and you'll be waiting on someone to do certain things at a well, but you can pray and just ask the Lord quietly. And in the meantime, you are wanting to be the best wife or the best husband possible for someone. And that's important as well. And that you are determined to have that commitment. You're going to show that commitment to your friends. You're going to be a helpful type of person. You're going to go the extra mile. And that will all build up your character to be the person that would make a good wife or husband. Yes, it's very good. I said a lot of wee things here I could share with you, but time, I say, would run out on us. But Ephesians 5 and verse 1 and 12 and verse 21 to 33, we have here in relation to that there, we have about how Christ, He used marriage as an illustration for us as part of His family. And when you become a Christian, you become a permanent member of His family. And so marriage is not something to have just for a trial, and then if it doesn't work out, just forget about it and you'll get another one. That's popular, but it's not scriptural. And it's something you need to say, right, I am going to be committed. And that's what you want. And how love is important. And the Bible makes that clear. And in the Daily Bread, I was looking at it on the October the 17th. It says, abide in my love. And somebody bought a balloon and it said, I love you on it. But they were putting their shopping into in the car, and in the balloon, one of those balloons, that tin foil, it went off. And so they're watching it going away, and it was just a memory. Losing that balloon reminded me of the ways love sometimes vanishes. Children rebel, distance themselves. Spouses or loved ones desert. Close friends stop calling. I'm so thankful that God's love is steady. It can sustain us when love here on earth drifts away. In fact, it's so reliable that Jesus invites us to abide in His love. He wants us to know it's okay to settle in and get comfortable. So abide in His love. So tonight, who can find a virtuous woman? If you're looking for a wife or you're looking for a future husband, then how Proverbs tells us much about that. The type of person that you're looking for. And so you can read that in verse 10 and 12 of Proverbs 31 and also verses 26 to 31. So remember, if the Lord spurs you to get married, then the Lord spurs you to have a family, how that they'll have no choice over who their parents are either, just like you. And then another generation will be born. So think of, it's God's plan for marriage that a man should leave his father and mother. And say, I've quoted a lot of references there that I trust that you can read up yourselves. And it is important, and it does break my heart. I've been involved in a few problematic marriages, and how that it's not a very nice situation. And thankfully, I was involved in one I can't disclose, obviously, but it was very encouraging. As soon as I heard the problems that they had parted, I made sure the first thing to get them to meet, to get them to talk. Even though we're cold and didn't want to hardly look at each other, we just met. I don't know, it was a bit like a chip shop, I think it was. But a lot of things happen in chip shops, even solving problems. But at least, you know, thank the Lord. And this one I'm thinking of, and I can't obviously disclose any details, but the main thing is they got talking and they got things out, and thankfully that marriage is intact today, and I praise God. Now, both professing Christians, so it's not just the heathen out there that decide to walk away. So even you're a Christian tonight, you have a responsibility for your character before God. And then when you meet someone and you're committed to them and they're committed to you, then what do you do with a problem? Do you walk away? Stamp out of the house? No. You sit down and talk about it. And once you talk about it, it'll melt. It'll disappear. Usually most things can be sorted out if people would only sit down and communicate with each other. So I trust that you'll be spared many of the pitfalls in life, and that the Lord will bless you in the future and make you a blessing to many. I say thank you very much.